And good afternoon. This is Angel Answers with yours truly, Amy Toy. It is a privilege and honor to be back with you. I'm sorry for the past couple weeks. I've had some family health issues. My father had taken up ill, and he had some infections, and he's been in and out of the hospital, poor guy. So keep him in your prayers, and it's been an uphill battle. But hopefully he's on the right, you know, road to health, and everything's, you know, going to get better here. So today's topic is codependency. We're going to talk about if it's a myth, if it's still pertinent, how far we've come with codependency, and discuss if you are in a relationship with a codependent or you yourself, you know, are codependent, how you can get help. I have a few announcements before we begin here. You can find me, if you want a reading, angelanswers11.com. That's angelanswers11.com. You can find me on Twitter. I've been getting a lot of followers on Twitter, thank God, at AngelAnswers11. And I have a Facebook page, too. You can like me, and it's Angel Answers with Amy. You can find me there, and you can email me if you have any questions, angelicamy35@gmail.com. And those are the ways to get a hold of me, and we can talk about, you know, anything you want. You can call me. I'm going to be taking angel readings probably 10 minutes into the show in between the topic. Like I said, we have a kind of meaty topic to talk about today. And call in with your questions and comments if you want to talk about that or anything about the angels. And you're probably wondering, okay, what does codependency, what about all these topics we've maybe been hitting lately? Well, first of all, my goal is to educate you. And that's what my goal has always been, is to educate people. I'm a teacher, and that's what I love to do, and I enjoy doing things. Sometimes we're going to have a hard-hitting topic like codependency. I'm getting together a show about addictions. I have, in a couple weeks, I do have a fun topic. I have an animal psychic that's coming on. Her name is, she's also known as the Critter Doc, and I believe she's going to be on the 14th, Andrea S., and she... I came across her website. She's not too far from me. She's originally from, I guess, Toronto, and now she's in the Arizona area. And we're going to talk to her about animal readings and this lady, you know, wonderful energy. I loved her when I taught, you know, chose her because I wanted to get some other topics. We're going to do, next week, we're going to do the Archangel of the Month. Then we're going to have the Critter Doc on the 14th. And then I am looking to do some more topics. I haven't booked. I've been booking guests, so nothing's concrete yet. We'll just take it from there. Maybe we can. We're going to do the show on addictions. I'm going to have, hopefully, I have a woman that's a former addictions counselor. She's going to be talking about addictions, what they are. Are they really real? She was in the field for over 10 years. And we're going to have her on, and we're going to see how we can talk about some hard-hitting topics. Plus, we're going to have some, you know, I'm going to get some healers on, and trying to book some other people and book guests. So it takes a lot of work. As I said, my father was ill, so that took away from the radio show. But I'm back now, and hopefully he can be back. We've done some energy work on him, too. And my father is amazed at the energy work that, you know, people can do. He just, I think, never thought that the energy work, especially with the integrated energy therapy, the healing with the angels, he was amazed because I think it got him through some healing crises. Like I said, he's been quite, you know, blood infections and defibrillator problems and everything else that poor man's been through, and he's a young man yet. So keep him in your prayers, everyone. I'm a little concerned, but they tell me from the other side they aren't ready for him yet. So that's always a good thing when you have a, you know, connections from the other side. So anyway, if you want to call me, I have a few phone numbers to reach to give you. Those within the U.S. and Canada, it's 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And those international callers are outside the U.S. and Canada, of course, it's area code 530-413-4522. And on to codependency. I believe that this topic kind of came up. My guide, I have a very, very, very pushy guide. His name is Jeremiel. He's a Sun Master. He comes through. And as I was going through my family issues, you know, when you're sick in the hospital with your parents and, you know, dysfunctional relatives, you deal with certain things. And I was noticing I had dealt with the codependent personality. I'm codependent in some ways. I think we all are to some varying degrees. But more so than others, depending on dysfunction, mental health issues, maybe in the family, addictions. I mean, people who live with an addictive personality, whether that's alcohol, drugs, or gambling, kind of become codependent. So as I was in the hospital, I noticed, you know, certain behaviors that my mother was displaying. I love my mother, but, you know, there's some things that you just deal with, you know, and I just noticed different behaviors. So I had studied one of the best books I can suggest to you, and they came out with the 25th anniversary edition, was Codependent No More, How to Stop Controlling Others and Start Caring for Yourself. Melody Beatty has been one of the forerunners. I think her book has been named, I think Dr. Drew from Life Changers named her book as one of the top four books to read. So codependency is a really, I mean, it's a topic that, you know, we touch on, and there's been, you know, kind of different schools of thoughts about it. But for me, like I said, I'm here to educate you on different topics and maybe make you more aware of, as we shift in 2012 here, on the different things we need to work on. And now, this book has been very instrumental with many people in the recovery movement. I'm not going to really go into the recovery 12-step movement. I believe it has its place with certain people. I've been there, done that. You know, we'll talk about that later. That's one of maybe your avenues you want to go through if you feel you are codependent or you're living with someone with an addiction. It's a hard situation where you can find support and love for the time being, and that's codependents do feel alone. So anyway, Melody Beatty came out in 1986 with this book, Codependent No More, but there was a book before that I believe I read. It was Codependency, an Emerging Issue by Robert Subby, S-U-B-B-Y. And there's a couple books out there, but I believe hers is the best one, and she did revise it. And I have read this book like three or four times, and it feels like this time around when I reread it, it was like I was rereading it for the first time. Some things I had forgotten about, some things I had improved on, some things I still, you know, I haven't been aware that I was doing. This book, I was more aware after I read the book, so I would suggest you read it. But what is a codependent? I mean, there's different definitions. I believe the watered-down version that I would like to say it is, a codependent is someone who places everyone above themselves and forgets about themselves. They kind of get lost in the chaos or the drama or the addiction. And that's what they do. They lose themselves. And we're going to talk about different top, you know, how people, like I said, there's varying degrees. You could be a little codependent, you could be a lot codependent, depending on what variations you have here. And like I said, it is a very, 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 very hot topic. Sometimes people, you know, have forgotten about it. Codependency, you know, is in the article, this is from Codependency, an Emerging Issue, I'm sorry, by Robert Subby. Codependency is he's defining it as an emotional, psychological, and behavioral condition that develops as a result of an individual's prolonged exposure to, and practice of a set of oppressive rules which prevent the open expression of feeling as well as the direct discussion of personal and interpersonal problems. So the codependent kind of, or the codependent personality, or the codependent, we'll call them the codependent, loses themselves in a particular situation. And like I said, the common one is usually someone living with an addictive personality, whether that, like I said, alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, whatever it is. I feel like everyone has an addictive personality to some extent. Some people just like to eat chocolate, and that's their addiction, and other people like to be addicted to shopping. But this is more of a serious matter where it's the codependent loses themselves. They can't feel like they've put themselves on the back burner. And when you have a codependent, it's almost like, okay, let's use this example. Let's say you're an alcoholic and you have, you know, a partner who's codependent, and, you know, the alcoholic maybe has been drinking a lot, and they're drinking, and the codependent or the partner will come in and try to dissuade, like control or manipulate the alcoholic not into doing this crazy behavior, because, you know, that's what the villain is the alcohol instead of the alcoholic, the person who's drinking. So what the codependent will do, or the a press party, like what he said there, was they'll start, you know, maybe, you know, taking the liquor and throwing, you know, putting it down the, dumping it down the drain or hiding it or, you know, please don't drink, don't do this, you know, pleading or manipulating, controlling. And that's what a codependent, that's an example of a codependent. Maybe another thing would be, another example would be someone who, you know, is always in somebody else's business. I mean, there's different, there's people who are addicted to drama. There's someone that I know of that, you know, didn't want to look at their themselves. They decided to be in everybody else's business, and that was okay, you know. It was okay to be in everybody else's business and thrived on drama, thrived on misery, and, you know, just, well, I got to do this for this one because they can't. It's like they're trying to they're the rescuers, and they're trying to save, the codependents are the rescuers and savers. They're trying to save you from yourself. And that's sometimes, that's a very unhealthy addiction. You could be almost, like the codependent could be addicted to the addictive personality or the someone who's having the issues, and they feel like they have to save them and rescue them. And then you have all these, like, varying feelings with the codependent that comes up. So there's different examples of that. You know, another might be that there's someone who doesn't, the codependent who doesn't want to deal with themselves. They have low self-worth, low self-esteem. So like the alcoholic who turns to alcohol or the drug addict who turns to drugs or whatever you're addicted to. They, you know, they kind of go into drama and chaos and problems, and I got to fix this, and I got to save this one, and I got to rescue that one, which I think we all do to a certain degree, but we learn after a while, those of us who are on the spiritual path and those who are becoming more self-aware, and once again, that's the key here, self-awareness, is that we can't save anyone but ourselves, but the codependent at the time of the chaos doesn't realize that. They just don't see what, they only see what's in front of them. They don't see the forest beyond the trees. So those are some examples of codependency. And like I said, I witnessed a lot of that within my own family. Now, I love my family. I'm not trying to criticize them, or I'm just using them, you know, as examples, because when you grow up in this stuff, you don't know any difference. You don't know what you don't know. And so, you know, you're taught maybe if you were brought up in a codependent household like I was, you know, it's the old adage, you don't feel, what you're feeling is not right, and what you're thinking is not right, so you're invalidated in a lot, you know, in a lot of ways. And I'm going to talk about some characteristics of a codependent, and maybe you can identify with some of these, and maybe you don't, but this is from Melody Beattie's book, Codependent No More. And once you realize you are codependent, it takes a while to disabuse yourself of what's going on. It's almost like a detox, you know, situation. And here's another definition of a codependent person is one who has let another person's behavior or allowed another person's behavior to affect him or her, and who is obsessed with controlling that person's behavior. Like I said, that could be the alcoholic, an addict, you know, a child. I mean, I have a client that, you know, is codependent with her children. So, you know, you can do that. You can be really caught up on things, and like I said, it's the watered down version is those who are, like I said, they put themselves last. They don't even feel like they're a person anymore after they get codependence. Codependence can be caretaking. They think that they're responsible for other people's behaviors, choices, actions, and you know, they feel like they have pity and guilt when someone else has a problem. They feel compelled, they're almost forced to help a person solve that problem. You know, like maybe you have a friend who calls you up and you're codependent with this friend, and they might, you know, ask you for advice, and not ask you for advice, maybe they want someone to listen. You're giving them unsolicited, you know, help wanted advice. Oh, you know, you should go leave Robert. You know, he's nothing but a loser. But yet you're not looking at what's going on in your own life. Maybe your whole life is, as they say, in the 12-step programs. I remember this phrase quite well. Your life has become unmanageable. So why don't you worry about your own life first? But that's not what the codependent is. They're caught in other people's drama and chaos, and that's how they feel alive. You know, that's why I think drama queens, you know, who they are. Because they feel alive during the chaos and drama. Maybe that's how they were brought up. Maybe, you know, that's how an addictive personality, maybe they live with an addictive personality. So that's something. They try to anticipate like people's needs. They, I'm psychic, but I try not to anticipate my fiance's needs anymore. It just doesn't work that way. He needs to voice that to me if he's not happy that the cat, did something. It sometimes happens around this house. And then maybe the codependent will give so much of themselves that they wonder why they're not giving that back in return. Maybe they're giving, and then they feel empty inside, which happens when you're codependent. You have that void in yourself that you have no clue why it's there. And then it's like insanity is knocking your head against the wall and not figuring out why you're getting the headache. That's what my definition of insanity is. You're knocking, hitting your head against the wall, and you're wondering, why do I still get a headache? That's insane. Look at the action, look at what you're doing here. And codependents don't know how to voice their opinions. They think that their opinion is inconsequential. Their needs are inconsequential. They don't have respect for themselves, let alone why would people have respect for them? They're showing that their needs are not wanted and they become resentful. And, that's a lot of codependency. People can't say no. No is not in their vocabulary. Yes is in their vocabulary. They will work around things so they can accommodate you, but maybe they have an important doctor's appointment. And they really try to please other people instead of themselves. They're approval-seeking behavior. They're trying to gain approval of other people, and usually a codependent will seek out someone else who doesn't have that capacity to give them the approval that they're seeking at the time. So you're in this vicious spin cycle. They feel, when they're giving, they feel really safe about it. That's what they're used to doing. They feel very generous. Like I said, they don't really give to themselves. They don't take care of themselves, what they call self-care in the 12-step programs. And they don't know how to express their feelings, like anger. I mean, they just don't get it. They don't know how to express. They don't know how to get their needs met. And it's almost like, I remember when I was going to a 12-step, I did go to Al-Anon for 5 years. And Al-Anon taught me how to keep the focus on myself, even though we fall on that. So when a friend of mine said, you got to keep the focus on yourself, and I'm like, what? And that's what codependents have a hard time doing. They keep their focus on everybody else and not what they need. And so that's something that you'll find with a codependent. And they find themselves like needy people. They attract them. It's like, I had a girlfriend say to me, what do you got, needy people wanted on your forehead or something? And that's true. Needy people come to me. And after a while, when you go through I call it the detox process of codependency, and I'll walk you through that a little bit. Like I said, I suggest you really pick up this book, Codependent No More, How to Stop Controlling Others and Start Caring for Yourself. I'm going to suggest some other books, too, that are outside kind of the 12-step realm here. You just need to detox yourself of this stuff. So, you have these needy people coming to you, and then you get resentful because they're not giving back what you want, and it's like, oh, my God. And codependents, they overcommit themselves. They could have the busiest schedule. I know a codependent when I see one because they're busy. They're running this, doing that for that one, and not for themselves. So they're overcommitted. And they're usually like, pressure, they're like in a pressure cooker. They feel like they're, hurried. And they come in. I had a friend once, and I could tell she was a codependent because she would come and I would pick her up once in a while, and she was like running all over the place. And I was like, do you need a drink or something to calm down? Because, God, you are really high, strong, and type A personality. And, that's the way this person was, and that was fine, but, ugh. Codependents feel they're responsible for other people. They're not. They're not thinking like they're responsible for the alcoholic's drinking, for example. Maybe the alcoholic blames them for their drinking. And it takes a while to get out of that insanity, that vicious cycle of, abuse and drugs and addiction. The codependent will feel, like I said, angry. They'll maybe feel victims, not realizing what part they played in that. Not taking responsibility, like the alcoholic won't take responsibility for their behaviors. The codependent doesn't take responsibility for their part in the action. People would say, especially in a 12-step program, well, you're part of the problem. And you're like, oh, that person's got the problem there. I heard that a lot at the tables. That person's got a problem there. because, you know, they're the alcoholic, or they're the drug addict, or they're the sex addict, or they're the overeater, or whatever it is, not realizing that they're, like, playing a part in this vicious cycle of stupidity and insanity. And, you know, codependents have low self-worth. They really do. They blame themselves for other people's problems. Like, if they feel overly responsible, they feel overly guilty if they're not playing a part in something. You know, it's like they're drawn to the drama, and it's like, come on, get, you know. The codependent feels like they're not good enough. They don't deserve. Sometimes they're in these relationships because they're settling for something that maybe is not healthy for them. You know, George wouldn't live without me, you know, couldn't live without me. He's a drinker, and I got to be there for him. You know, well, sometimes you got to be there for yourself. So the codependents have the, I call it the shoulds, coulds, and woulds syndrome. You know, I should have done this, I could have done that, and I would have done this. That's not good, because especially when I'm doing energy work around the shoulder area, that's where we hold the shoulds, coulds, and woulds. What happens is I pick that up and I'm like, man, this person's like got the weight of the world on their shoulders, and it usually does, because you can feel it energetically in the shoulders. And so, first of all, like I said, self-awareness is the key to healing. That's 50% of the battle. The other is trying to heal, or getting to heal. Let me back up. Healing yourself, you know, having the angels come and heal you. And that's one thing that really does help with the codependency part of it is, if you become aware of some of these behaviors, like I said, I'm just giving you an outline of some of the behaviors and some examples. You may be able to relate to this, or you don't have to. Maybe you know someone who's codependent, and they used to be a friend of yours, and you shy away from this person because you know they're toxic for you because they drive you crazy. You know, trying to fix you, and you're like, look, sister, I'm trying to fix myself here. I don't need your help. You know, and that's what happens with a lot of codependents, is they try to fix you, and they don't want to worry about themselves, you know. And they repress a lot of anger, very, very angry, and very controlling, very manipulative. And that's one thing codependents have a problem with, you know. They can become obsessed with other people's problems, people, places, and things. And the funny part about it is that we can't control other people's places and things. Maybe I'm learning that lesson myself, you know. I wish my dad wouldn't be such an idiot sometimes. I know he was in a lot of pain last week, and what the one part I did tell him was he kind of embarrassed me in front of the nurses because he was in such a bad mood, and I understand it. But, you know, I was really worried about what my dad was doing, and I was like, well, it's his problem. He's responsible for himself. And, of course, I'm sure the nurses were cheering as he was leaving the floor. I'm sure, because I have a feeling that's what they were doing. Yeah, and they focus now. They're, you know, codependents, like, they're obsessed. Did you have a friend who would talk about maybe a particular relationship over and over and over again? It was like they were a broken record. They were so fixated on this person or the situation that they talked and talked and talked about it. That's what a codependent will do. They will be so fixated on maybe George's drinking problem. How George is such a pain in their you-know-what. He comes home drunk every day, and, you know, he passes out in front of the kids. Maybe they have a couple kids. And what an embarrassment George is, and how she tries to hide, you know, the car keys, and how, you know, without really, you know, seeing how she's playing into that insanity, maybe this partner, you know, is just talking about instead of, you know, having some action for herself and worry more about him and the kids instead of, you know, instead of herself. You know, like I said, codependents are very controlling people, and I'll admit I'm the number one offender, you know, wanted, control freak. Here I am. That's me. I'm one of those people that have a control issue, and, you know, and it's very frustrating because the codependent's trying to control the uncontrollable. He can't control somebody else's drinking. He didn't cause it. He didn't control it, and he can't cure it. So, you know, that's the three C's. We, you know, like I said, I'm going to throw some 12 stuff at you today. Maybe you can relate to it, maybe you can't. You know, and denial is really something that the codependents are wonderful with. They may have, you know, codependent may become addicted themselves eventually because they can't control what's really right in front of them. And what will happen with a codependent who's in the fire, you know, Melody Beatty has, like, some different stages of codependent behaviors, they will become an addictive personality themselves. or maybe they are addictive personality to avoid the pain that they're feeling, which is a lot of times why we become addicted. It's because we're avoiding the pain that we're feeling. And like I said, we get caught up in other people's crap. So the codependent maybe become more a workaholic or an alcoholic or a drug addict or sexaholic or a chocoholic or an overeater. And when they do these things, it's part of their denial process of really what's going on and right, which is right in front of them. And like I said, codependency can be recovered from. That's why they call it recovery, which I think was an awesome movement when, you know, it did come about. But I think my personal opinion about recovery is people only need it for a certain time, and then they, you know, it becomes their addiction. And that's one thing, too, that we can become caught up with is when we're going to a 12-step program or maybe a support group, which is great. I have no problem with people, if you have issues, to go to support groups. In fact, I encourage it. I'm one of the first people to say, hey, yeah, I've been that path. I think after a while, when you start recovering after, and you've done a lot of work on yourself, a lot of work, which I mean, it's a lot of work, you can recover from this. And I'm not saying you can't be aware of the triggers, but people kind of get caught up in these self-help groups and support groups, and after a while, that becomes their obsession. Like I said, the codependent becomes obsessed with it. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not all for not becoming involved with, in the beginning, you need to be really 110% a support group. That's just, especially if you're living with an alcoholic or anybody addicted. You know, Al-Anon is a wonderful program. I think it's been around since, I think, the 1930s. It's a wonderful program. It's a sister program to Alcoholics Anonymous. They do practice the 12 steps themselves. And the codependent, you know, really does find solace in that. But, however, after a while, if you're continuously going these programs for 20, 30, 40 years, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go. I'm not criticizing that. But after a while, it does become tiresome. And maybe the people in the group haven't worked on their own issues. And that's kind of my beef with those groups is they don't work on themselves. You know, they're great. They come there once or twice a week or how many times there's a meeting. I know with Al-Anon, there's a lot of meetings around this area. Been to most of them, a long time ago. After a while, you just outgrow the people in the group, and I think that they help you. And I'm not saying if I had to go back, I would. I would be welcome back, no problem. But you just become obsessed. It's like you replace one obsession with the other. So that's just my two cents on that one. The codependent becomes very needy themselves. They become very dependent on, you know, other people for approval seeking. And sometimes they seek out needy people themselves. Like I said, I used to have needy people apply here on my forehead. And it's almost like you just tolerate what they, you know, people who abuse you too. People who maybe disregard you. I used to have friends a long time ago. This is way back in the day. I'm not saying now. I have healthier relationships, thank God, now. Who, you know, would abuse me and say, you know, they do this and make promises they couldn't keep and everything an alcoholic or an addict would do. And because, you know, when we either grow up in it or when we become involved with a relationship later in life, something that's very common, a lot of addictive personalities out there, it can happen. And, you know, codependents don't see the forest beyond the trees. They feel so trapped in these relationships. They settle for what's right in front, you know, they really settle. And it's really sad. And codependents are very poor communicators, like I said. They don't voice what they need, what their needs are. You know, they blame, they threaten, they coerce, they beg, they bribe, they advise. They say what they don't mean. They eliminate, you know, no is a big category. No is not in their vocabulary. They have their problems expressing, you know, themselves fully. But if you grew up in a household where you're invalidated and not trusting what your own feelings are and what your thoughts are, that's hard to do. So, you know, they avoid talking about who they are and what they like and what their souls. And so it's almost like when you realize you're codependent or you're involved with an addictive personality or someone with mental health issues who abuses whatever, you have to almost find yourself again, and that's a hard process. So we'll go through that. People with codependence are, you know, have weak boundaries, and that's very, very true. They keep letting people hurt them and hurt them and hurt them, and then they get angry, and it's almost like, I remember myself, I used to take stuff and take it, and all of a sudden they blow up, and people are like, oh my God, you're nuts, you know, I mean, you're crazy. You know, what the heck happened to you? Where did you, what side of the bed did you get off, you know, get up on today? You know, that kind of thing. Because I wasn't expressing what I needed. I was tolerating unacceptable, you know, abusive behavior, and that's not right. But I couldn't say it because I didn't feel like I had permission to say it. So codependents are very, they don't trust. They have anger, which we talked about. We've done shows on anger. Sex problems, you know. The codependent, maybe you're married to an alcoholic and he comes home and he smells like alcohol. Who the heck wants to have sex with an alcoholic who smells like alcohol and maybe has a problem with their performance? You don't want to go there. And so maybe they just, you know, have sex because just to, you know, appease him. And they put themselves last. And that's a sad part about codependency. It's almost a disease in itself, I think, you know. And a codependence can be, you know, responsible or irresponsible. They're passive aggressive. They don't say what they mean or mean what they say. They're back and forth with maybe decisions. Should I leave George? Should I not leave George? Should I take the kids and go to my mother's? You know, get out of this situation with the alcoholic, whatever it is. They really, really don't like it. They cover up for the alcoholic. Maybe they're making excuses for the alcoholic or the person with the problem. Maybe that person was out binging the night before. I'm using alcoholism because that's kind of what this book covers a lot. And it's also been my, like I said, I've dealt with this myself. So maybe the alcoholic is, you know, you're always making up excuses for the alcoholic. Maybe they don't show up at Christmas parties. Maybe there's a family gathering, they had a bender, you know, they were on a two-night bender before, or two-day bender, and you have to make excuses, oh, George is not feeling well. Once again, that's what codependents do. They cover up, lie, and belittle, and manipulate, and control, and do everything they can to try to control a situation. It doesn't work. In fact, it makes you insane, the codependent, the person, whoever it is. And it really does hurt. And, you know, the codependent will say, feel like they're ashamed of themselves. Like, what have I done? They blame themselves for the alcoholic's problems. It's insanity. But when you don't know any better, you don't know any better. And it's the sad part. In the later stages of codependency, like I said, you become an addictive personality yourself. You're trying to drown out pain. You may have an eating disorder. You may become violent. You may become so angry. You abuse your own duty. So anyway, that's the codependency checklist, if you can relate to any of those. And like I said, it's really a hard road to hoe. It really is. We'll be taking a break in a few minutes. Like I said, I keep going on and on. I'm doing angel readings. If you would like to talk about this or any other, like I said, this is not just about codependency. We have the angels here ready to take your call. The phone number in the U.S. and Canada is 1-888-627-6008. And international callers is area code 530-413-4522. I don't think we're going to have time for a break because I want to get through this material. So I'm changing my mind. Woman does that. Anyway, how to deal with codependency. Once you've decided maybe you are in a codependent situation, whether that be an abusive relationship, an addictive relationship, maybe someone who's not, maybe you're trying to rescue someone who has some mental health issues. Codependency can be, it's a long road to recovery, but it can be done. And like I said, I've done it. Been in recovery, God, maybe, it's been a long time for me, maybe 10 years or more now. And it was amazing because when I found out I was all these, you know, different situation, I think I was close to 30 when that happened, maybe a little bit earlier, and my life had become horrible. And I remember I was going to college, and I just had moved back home with my parents and got out of a crazy relationship. And I remember a counselor, and I went to the school counselor, the college counselor, and I didn't know that woman. Her name is Phyllis. She's a wonderful lady. I'll never forget her. She said, you're in a dysfunctional household, and is one of your parents an addictive personality? I said, yeah. She goes, do you realize that you've been impacted from this? I'm like, no. That's how much denial I had. And it was amazing because that was my I mean, before I had gone to different support groups for, you know, dealing with my family. But never had I entered in a 12-step program, been aware that I thought I was fine walking around just fine. You know, I was an angry person who had repressed a lot of emotions. So this woman, Phyllis, got me back onto that. She got me to turn on to Al-Anon, different books in recovery. And Melody Beatty has two books that I've kind of referred to often on the years. Language of Letting Go and Beyond, I think it's More Language of Letting Go. It's like a daily reader, and you can wake up in the morning. And a lot of these 12-step programs will have you do that. It's like you have to disabuse your mind. It's almost like detox, like an alcoholic or a drug addict or a food addict has to go through detox. It's
caller
almost like
online
that.
Online, too.
Okay, thank you. I think we have a caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
Hi there, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, I'm really good. Thank you. I've been listening to you about codependency.
I don't know if it was a boring topic, but what's your thoughts on
it? Well, and the question isn't regarding it, but it is bringing up a lot of memories about my own child life and my mother. But I love this topic, and I actually would like to forward this actual show to my parents. Just for them to listen to.
Yeah, I know. Honey, we can fix them. We can fix them. They can only do, we can only be on our own path. I'm telling you, sometimes when you get better, it's when the people around you have to respond differently. When you respond differently to them, which I'll talk about in, you know, in a little bit, mm-hmm. they respond differently to you. I've seen it in my own family, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't know I was adult. Yeah, Amy's an adult. Because they treat me like I'm two sometimes. I have my own business and everything. So, what's your question, Lisa? You got something with career going on?
I do, and that is my question. That's my question.
Okay.
I'm still looking for work. And
okay, what are you, a dancer or something?
Oh, very close. I'm actually involved in theater. And
okay,
I
okay. Okay, I saw theater and I thought I saw dancing. That's what I was asking. Okay.
Yes. So I'm actually writing and I act and I dance and I do all of these very creative things. And I'm auditioning. So that's
okay.
Good, but I'm just wondering if you see if anything is going to pop soon, because I personally feel like it is. Like I can't explain.
Well, you are a manifester. You're a powerful manifester. I've spoken with you before. Remember that. I hear powerful manifester from my guide, okay? Let me take a look. I am going to pull, four cards for you today. This is unusual. Usually I just do one.
Ew.
Ew, I got some good messages for you. Okay. Ah, okay. Well, the good part is you're trusting in the process, which is, okay, this is excellent. Okay, I got four messages for you, which is unusual because they usually want me to do two or three, but you have four cards here.
Uh-huh.
I feel you have, first of all, trusting in the process, and you're right. I feel like you're on the verge. I feel like somebody hasn't. Have you been auditioning a lot lately?
Last month in March, I did more so than I am now, but I am meeting a lot of people.
All right, there's something with auditions coming here. Either you're about to audition, you have an audition that you apply, you know, you did, I would say in the beginning, something with March that's coming back to you now because I'm seeing that. And I'm feeling that you're going to be called on, and I see a lot of support from the other side that's showing me that you have a lot of angelic support. I don't know if you work with the angels personally because I feel like you have a lot of angelic presence here. And that's what kind of feeds your creativity in your everything else, okay? So you have that, but you have something back from March. What about February? Did you do something in February, too?
Oh, yeah. That was a big month.
middle of February, there was an important audition. I see a woman calling you. They're finally getting some kind of, I don't know if you're going to be replacing someone in a show or something like that, but I feel like it's going to be a short stint, but I feel like something's going to kind of push you into something more. Does that make sense?
I have to think about it, but I mean, it's all so possible, so.
Okay, well, sure. It's like a short stint. It's like you're going to be helping, like finishing up a production, something like that. I see it's going to thrust you into more activity. I do feel you're accepting what is. And I see answered prayers around you. So I feel like you're going to make some progress here. I feel like we're, and I get a 5 here. I don't know if it's going to be the 5th or within 5 days. Okay? You're very close. You're very, very close.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All I want is milk.
Okay, sweetheart. Well, it's nice talking to you. It's always nice to hear from you. You take care, and I hope this show helps you out in some way, okay?
Thanks a lot, you guys. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. That was a good, I love working with the angels, so if you guys want to call me, I'm here. So, like I said, I'm here for any messages that you would like from the angels, too. Like I said, this show is to educate. So anyway, when you're dealing with a codependent, some of the things you can do is, like I said, the road of recovery is one option. Self-help books are another, and that's why I'm kind of throwing books out to you, because maybe you're not ready to go into a group setting. And one of the main things to do is detach yourself from the situation. You're like, detach me? Detach what? Like I said, these 12-step programs or these readers that, you know, Melody Beatty has kind of put out, you know, the language of letting go, more language of letting go, which I think was the better one, the second one, more language of letting go, I think is what it was called, really helped me. I did my detox. I changed my thought processes every day. It was a constant. It's changing a lifelong habit or what you've been brought up in is a very, it's challenging, but it can be done. And when you catch yourself, like I said, my family kind of try to catch me in different matters, different things this week, or in the past couple weeks have been horrible with my family because, you know, I felt like I was being thrusted back into the mayhem. You know, so when we detach, detaching with love is what they say. What I mean is you focus on yourself. And how do you do that? You put yourself first. Because everybody else will learn how to take care of themselves. And yes, it's unbelievable it does happen, but it does happen. So once you start taking care of yourself, whether that means you take a hot bath every day, you read something, you go to a 12-step meeting. Do we have another caller? Okay, I thought I heard some. You know, we can go through that. And, oh, okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Douglas. Sorry. Hello?
Hello, Amy. It's Mindy. How are you?
Good. How you doing, sweetie?
Good. Great show, by the way. This is bringing up a lot of memories of one of my recent relationships, by the way.
Oh, yes, I do remember. Yes, I do. Yes. Do you have a question or comment?
I was wondering if you have any angel messages for me today.
Sure. I love that. I'm glad you're back with us. I know your work schedule, you said, has been crazy.
Yes. I made sure I home office today.
Yeah, that should be common. Well, they're showing me, like, ebb and flows here. It feels like you're going to be mid-May to, like, beginning of July, man. You're going to be hopping. All right. Oh, okay. All right. I have a 2-card. I have 3 cards for you. My guide is saying, no, you pull 3 for her. Okay. Freedom from the past. Now, I feel like you're still working on that, Mindy. You're still working on freedom from the past. It feels like you're about to, I feel like the shackles of the past are being removed from you, and that's what I'm feeling. And you've worked on, like, 99% of it, which is great because, you know, you and I, you know, you have been really working really hard on yourself, and that's very commendable, and they want me to show you that freedom is upon you. And what's your intention here? And I know what your intention is, but really focus on what you want in the romantic department because romance is beckoning at your doorstep here. So it feels like either you're in a relationship that's going to be really, really, really strong coming up here over the next 4 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what I feel like the angels are telling me to tell you. You've worked on your stuff. You're free, almost free. Take the intention that you need, and the romantic part of it is really, it's right there. It's like in the present moment, honey. So.
Okay, well, great. Well, thank you so much. I love your show. Keep it up.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart. You take care. Okay, thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Christopher. How you doing?
Very good. I just wanted to commend you on another good show and to get my usual couple of pennies in there and, and to point out, well, from a lot of personal experience, including some of my own, I have to admit, because I've been in this situation, whenever we talk about addiction and addictive personalities, too many people get the impression it's always a substance or a type of behavior like gambling. They don't realize people can be addicted to other people just as obsessively.
Yes, they can be. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, definitely. They can be addicted to the personality.
And a lot of other people will say, well, if two individuals are happy around each other, but see, a lot of codependent people, strangely, despite their obsession with each other, they're not happy. You'll notice that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they wouldn't be trying to controlling them or, you know, doing things to try to change that person, right? Because you can't really change people. They can only change themselves, right?
Yes, and like you said, people get obsessed with unhealthy types of behavior, just like they get obsessed with or addicted to unhealthy substances like drama, too many people. That's why there's many people, like I have one friend who's female that frequently pretty much only dates guys who are criminals. Her family notices that and is always distressed because that type of behavior fascinates her for some reason. You know, and there's other people, too, who constantly seem to be obsessed with individuals who have behavior patterns that are not healthy for them.
Definitely.
And, yeah, so it's pretty clear too many people get a psychological high off of negative behavior.
Yes, they do. Yes, exactly. Like drama queens, like I was talking about, two people with drama and misery. They love misery, loves company. That's a true saying.
It sounds illogical, so a lot of people don't believe in it, but emotions are not logical. That's what people have to understand. And addiction is heavily based on emotion, any kind of addiction. Well, there's a physical component to the substance abuse, obviously, but, you know, the emotional aspect is very high also. When it comes to people obsessed with other people, I do think there has to be a physical component to that, too, an endorphin release of some sort. Because emotions are known to affect the neurochemistry. So, yes, I think we need to do more research on this, and I thank you for bringing this stuff up on your show, and glad to be listening in.
Well, thank you for, because we have talked about, personally, how you and I used to be obsessive about people. You know, we talked about this. You know, you talk about the person, you're incessantly talking about them, you know. Oh, my God. It's like, and then people don't want to be around you.
Yes. Or sitting up all night worrying, I wonder what they're doing. I could they be with someone else? And, you know, that's not healthy. Distress yourself over something like that.
Exactly. And people don't realize that. I mean, I have some callers, you know, on the lines that I work with, you know, they're obsessed with what he's doing or what she's doing. Whoa, I'm not a psychic spy here. To me, that's
obsessive. Well, if you're always, worried that the person that you're with, and when you're not around them, they're doing something that would be hurtful to you, obviously you must be getting some kind of high off the concern, off the drama connected to that concern, or maybe you should, if you're really distressed, maybe you shouldn't be with that person if you don't trust them.
Exactly, but people don't want to listen to that, you know, so.
They don't think logically when they're upset.
Yeah.
And I thank you for the point of this out, Avi, and thank you for giving the big mouth, which is me, you know, a little sounding voice here.
No problem, Chris. Well, we're gonna, I appreciate your insight, and I will talk to you soon, okay?
Will do. Talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Bye-bye. And that is so true. Chris brought up at some point, I mean, I know Chris for many years, and he is correct, that sometimes people can be, you know, obsessed with the person, like what they're drawn to. And that's another thing. That's what detachment comes in. Detachment comes in detaching with love. Now, I'm going to use, like I said, once again, the alcoholic example. Focusing on yourself. So if it's sitting home waiting for the alcoholic or the drug addict maybe to come home or go search the bars like, you know, some people do, go to a 12-step meeting. Get some friends. Get a life. It does work, especially with detachment. Detachment is, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't care. You should be cold and unfeeling and uncaring. Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm nervous. Good, I'm nervous. This being the first time calling on the air.
Oh, welcome, sweetheart. How can I help you today?
I want to talk about relationships. issues.
Okay. Yeah, relationships can be an issue, right?
Yeah. I guess one is, right now I have a next boyfriend who he's very, I guess he has this love for me that is, I feel special, but I feel like I've gone past it and I don't know how to help him.
Mm-hmm. Was he moody, honey?
Excuse me?
Is he moody, up and down?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, I'm just getting down, up, and him out. Okay, all right. I'm sorry, it's hard to be around someone who's very, yeah. What I'll do is, you want me to give you an angel message, sweetheart? See what the angels have to say?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
sweetie. Okay. It's going to be okay. They're telling me that you're dealing with this as best as you can, too. You take care of yourself, okay?
Okay.
Okay. This is actually an interesting reading here. Keeping your self-care, honey. You take care of yourself, okay? That's the first card I got, okay? You can help your current interest by being taking care of yourself. He will take care of himself. You know, sometimes we can't get so involved with them, okay? But I see that if you back, I'm not saying end the contact, I'm not saying that, okay? But I'm getting the message just to kind of take a step back here. And once you do that, things start to turn around for you. It's going to be a little bit, though. It's going to be a couple months here.
When you
take a step back, yeah. Not be so. I'm not saying break up. That's not what I'm saying. We were talking about detaching with love, meaning if you're sensing your boyfriend is kind of in a bad way, let's say in a bad mood or something, just back off from that. And I think you do that already, but just kind of make sure you take care of yourself. That's what my guide is saying. Take care of you. Okay.
Okay.
You can do this because it does turn around. It does turn around in a couple months. It really does turn around here because I do see you happy and I do see you, you know, in a better frame of mind. And so he will be as well. Okay.
He will be okay.
He'll be okay. You're both going to be okay. You're not. I just see you back. You know, not backing away, but just taking a step back. There's a difference. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Hey, sweetie.
Thank you.
Oh,
hi.
Honey,
thank
welcome.
You very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day. My closing, we only have a few minutes, and I'm just going to have some closing thoughts. We'll take no more callers. I just want to say that the show is going to have some good topics coming up in the next, I would say, next 6 months. I am going to really bring some really good people on. I am trying to book people. And codependency, like I said, is an important topic because, like I said, it's going to make you aware. If you have any questions, what I said, or if you want to talk privately or whatever, I'm here for you too. I'm not a counselor. I'm a spiritual advisor. I'm a psychic. I'm a medium. I'm a healer. And that's what I'm here to do. But I'm also an educator and a teacher, and I love doing what I'm doing here because I've been on this path. I've been there. I've done that. You can reach me at angelanswers11.com. I do take appointments. I'm reasonable. We're going to be doing some revisions to the website. You can follow me on Twitter at angelanswers11. I'm, you know, my fan page on Facebook is Angel Answers with Amy. And you can also email me, angelicamy35@gmail.com. Now, codependency was a hard topic to kind of cover. There's a lot of material. We'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll do, you know, like I said, we're going to do a show on addictions next month. I'm going to have somebody come in, and we're going to talk about recovery. And maybe we can finish this topic up next week. We're going to do the Archangel of the Month. And it's going to be maybe two angels, archangels, that were once the only two in the Bible and that I know of that reincarnated from humans to archangels. We're going to work with those two for the month of May. I can't believe May is upon us. And then we're going to talk about, like I said, we're going to have a fabulous angel psychic, the career doc, Andrea S. She'll be on the 14th. And I believe our addiction show will be on the 21st. I'm not too sure yet. I have to book the person. She and I are talking about it. I'm going to get some healers on, and we'll see what we can do. But if you have any questions, please don't ever hesitate to email me or talk to me. I'm here, and I really am honored to have the show. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I thank you for all my callers that called in today. I wish you angel blessings. May the angels be with you today and always. Namaste. Take care. Bye-bye.